Hello and welcome to another class in construction equipment. And today we're going to be talking about tractors and dozers. We're going to learn about what their properties are, what are they primarily used for, and then we're going to learn about how to calculate the production rate for these different pieces of equipment. So first of all, what are tractors and dozers? A tractor is a self-propelled machine used to pull a load or attachment, or push a load with a front-mounted blade. So it's a machine that has a blade in front of it, used primarily to push a load. And it can either be track mounted, like crawler tractors, or on wheels. Each one of them has its specific uses. Tractors with front mounted blades are referred to as dozers, like in bulldozers, for example. They are quite versatile machines. So what are they used for? They can be used to perform many earth moving tasks, primarily earth moving tasks, including backfilling trenches. After excavation is done through the excavators that we learned about in the previous lecture, we can backfill by pushing the soil back in the trench through the dozer. Clearing and grubbing, it can also be used to clear the site if we have some rocks or some trees or debris. It can push that debris aside to clear the site. Creating stockpiles, if we want to stockpile the soil that has been excavated in one area for a while until it's ready for backfilling again, then the dozers can be used for that. Excavating, although that's not the primary use for the bulldozers, but as we learned last time, if they are available, they can be used for that purpose. Pushing, loading, scrapers. As we're going to learn in future lectures, when we talk about scrapers, there are some self-propelled scrapers that have their own engines, and there are some scrapers that need to be pushed, even sometimes when they are self-propelled with a very big bucket, then in this case they need to be pushed to be able to start moving. Ripping compacted soils or soft rock. We're going to see that one of the attachments that can be added to dozers are rippers that can loosen the soil or break soft rock. Shaping slopes. Through some of the motion and tilting of the blades, as we're going to see again in this lecture, you can shape slopes. And finally, spreading material. If you want to elevate the level of the site by adding topsoil, you can spread that material using a dozer as well. Now, the decision to use tracks or wheels for the dozers depend on the use and the availability. So crawler tractors must be transported to sites, whereas wheel tractors can be driven from one site to another. Of course, you cannot drive the crawler tractors on public highways. They're going to rip the asphalt or the concrete, so they have to be transported on a flatbed. The crawler tractors are operated at slow speeds, 6 to 7 miles per hour, and they possess low ground pressure and they have high traction. So they're not designed to be operating at high speeds. Whereas the wheel tractors are operated at high speeds, up to 30 miles per hour, but they exert more ground pressure and lower traction. Imagine if you're using that heavy equipment on a muddy soil, then in this case maybe a crawler tractor is going to be better because it's going to distribute the weight of the tractor on the tracks, which is going to be a line load, whereas in case of a wheel tractor, is going to be a point load, concentrated load under the tires of that tractor. Tractors are not cost effective if distance to move material is greater than 100 yards. So if that's the condition, or if that's the case, we're going to look at some other piece of equipment to do that task. Site working conditions and scope of work determine specific size and type of tractors to use. This is some part of your job as a project manager, either to improve the job conditions or the site conditions, or to look for another piece of equipment to perform the job. Larger tractors are more productive than smaller ones, but cost more per hour to own, lease, and operate. So we're always going to have that trade-off between higher production and higher cost, or lower production and lower cost. So there's a trade-off between the cost and the production in this case. We're going to now start talking about the different attachments, different kinds of blades that can be attached to the dozers. And here, for example, we can see a full-grown person about 6 foot tall standing in front of a blade. As you can see, that blade is almost about 20 foot wide and about 7 feet tall. And this is quite normal, on especially in mines and quarries and so on, pushing heavy loads in front of it. Another type is special clearing blades, which are primarily used for land clearing. Land clearing, so it's gonna scrape the topsoil and remove any debris or any obstacles and then push it in front of it. As we mentioned at the beginning of this lecture, dozers can also be used to push scrapers. So here we have a scraper with a big bucket, and then we're gonna push it through a dozer to assist it in its motion. And another example here, we have the ripper as an attachment that's going to be used to rip the soil, whether it's tough hard clay or soft rock. And now we're going to learn about the different types of motion for the blade. If this is the bulldozer and in front of it there's a blade, the blade can move this way, which is called tilting, which is a vertical movement of the blade in that vertical level or plane. It's useful in cutting ditches, breaking up soils in tough crust, and permits concentration of the tractor driving power on a limited length of the blade. So you can tilt the blade and a small part of it's going to be in contact with the soil, and then with the heavy power of that dozer is going to be pushing on that tiny portion of the soil, so it's going to create a very high level of power at that small point of contact. So this is the first motion, is called tilting. The second type of motion is called pitching. Again, here's the dozer and here's the blade in front of it. The pitching is rotating the blade in that direction. That pivotal movement allows the operator to vary the angle of attack of the blade, cutting edge with the ground. And the pivotal movement of the blade top towards or away from the tractor. It increases or decreases the blade penetration by varying that angle. So that's the second kind of motion, which is called pitching. The third one is the angling, whereas, again, here's the dozer, here's the blade, it's going to rotate in this way. So if you want to push the soil aside and the dozer is moving forward, you angle the blade this way, so it's going to be pushing the soil sideways to create a clear path in front of the dozer. So the blade is not perpendicular to the direction of travel. It causes pushed material to roll off the trailing end of the blades. Now, some of the blades can perform all three motions. Some of them cannot. They're going to be limited to maybe tilting only, or tilting and pitching, or pitching and angling, or, as I said, all three of them. So looking at the types of blades, we have four major types of blades. The straight blade, something like this, which is primarily used for excavation work, normally heavy duty, and it can be tilted. It's good for penetration of hard materials and may be equipped to pitch as well. The second one is the angle blade. It can be operated straight or angled up to 25 degrees left or right of normal. The blade can be tilted, so it can be angled and it can be tilted, but not pitched. It's designed for side casting material. The third one is the universal blade. As you can see, it has wings on the sides that are canted to forward about 25 degrees, and it's efficient for moving big loads over long distances, and it's used for working stockpiles. The fourth one is the cushion blade, and that's quite flat, as you can see, and it's going to be used for pushing scrapers. So that's going to be the point of contact between the front of the dozer and the back of the scraper. Now, to measure the production rate of the scraper, we're going to use the generic equation, which consists of two main parts. The first part is the cycle time, how long is each cycle, and the second one is the number of cycles per hour, how many cycles can we perform per hour. And that's going to be measured in loose cubic yards per hour, contrary to the other equipment that we have used so far, where we used to measure in bent cubic yards per hour. The soil is in this case has already been loosened. That's why it's going to be measured in loose cubic yards per hour. And this is going to be dependent on the size and configuration of the blade, based on the four types that we just discussed, the size of the tractor, the engine power of the tractor, and how heavy can that load be to push in front of it. Distance the material is to be moved, so again, depending on how far do we need to push the material. Type and condition of material to be moved, is it loose, is it in big chunks? And the working conditions. Is the site flat? Is it rolling terrain? Is it muddy? Does it have a lot of debris and obstacles and things of that sort? So the production in loose cubic yards per hour is estimated by estimating the volume of earth that can be moved by the tractor during each operating cycle, the volume per cycle, and estimating the number of operating cycles that can be completed during an operating hour, which is cycles per hour. The volume of earth moved is dependent on the type of soil. Again, the more resistance you have to moving that soil, the less number of cycles that you're going to have, because the longer the cycle is going to be, therefore the less production are you going to get out of that piece of equipment. First of all, to measure the volume per cycle, we have an equation here which is equal to 0.375 times W times H times L. That 0.375 is a constant. So remember that this is a constant number. W is the width of that stockpile. Now we're looking from the top of the scrape of the dozer. L is the length of the blade. W is the width of the stockpile. It's going to be measured at two different points, W1 and W2, and we're going to get an average of the two. And H is going to be the height. Now we're looking from the front of the dozer. H is going to be the height of that stockpile. It's going to be also measured at two different points, and we're going to get an average, H1 plus H2 over 2. So the equation is going to be 0.375 WHL. That's going to be the volume per cycle. So the next step is to determine the cycles per hour, and the cycle time is going to be dependent on three different factors, FT, HT, and RT. Think about the cycle this way. First, the equipment positions itself, maneuvers to get in front of the stockpile, and then it's going to push the load, which is called the hauling cycle. And then after it reaches its final destination, it's going to go back empty to start another cycle. So that's going to be called the return cycle. So these three components, the fixed time, the haul time, and the return time, are going to be, the sum of these is going to be the cycle time for the dozer. Now the fixed time is going to be assumed to be 0.05 minutes, which is 3 seconds for power shift transmission, and up to 6 seconds, 0.1 minutes, for direct drive transmission, which is a property of the equipment itself. So this information is going to be given to you based on the type and model of the equipment, and you would have to determine whether the fixed time is going to be 3 or 6 seconds. The productivity finally is going to be basically the load volume, which is the volume per cycle, divided by the cycle time, which is how many cycles per hour, the cycle time, how many seconds per cycle, times the efficiency. So the efficiency basically is how many productive minutes can we get out of every hour, whether it's going to be 45 minutes or it's going to be 50 minutes an hour. That's going to vary with the conditions that we have. So this is primarily some information about dozers and how to measure their production and so on and so forth. And this is the end of this lecture primarily, but we have not addressed some of the details which we're going to address in another lecture, which are based on what kind of resistance can this equipment face in its operation. So for example, if you're moving uphill, there's going to be a certain kind of resistance different from moving downhill. Downhill, you're going to have gravity assisting you, whereas if you're moving uphill, it's going to be working in an adverse way against you. So we need to learn about the different types of resistance. What if your tires, for example, are not properly inflated? Or what if the tires penetrate through the soil, through muddy soil? That's going to, again, slow down the operation. So we're going to learn about what's called rolling resistance as well. And we're going to learn about grade resistance, which is the slope of the road on which you're traveling. We're also going to learn about the power of the engine and what's the useful part of that power, how to measure it, whether it's on wheels or on tracks. To give you an example, if you're driving your car in winter uphill on a road that has ice or has snow, you might find that the tires are rotating but the car is not moving because the engine cannot push the car up that slope, or because there's not enough friction between the car and the road. One of the solutions is to put sand on the ground. That's going to create more friction, enabling the car to move. Or if your car is a rear-wheel drive, You're going to put a heavy load in the trunk of your car, which creates a heavy load on the drivers, which are the rotating tires, the rear wheel of the car, and that's going to enable the car to move. So things like that, we're going to learn about them in our next lecture, and this is basically the end of this lecture. I'll see you in the next lecture.